This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's the dilemma that service groups all over Michigan are facing. Funding is withering even as the need for services is growing. We wanted to see how these budget cuts are hitting service groups, what the cost has been in terms of the help they're able to offer their communities, and what strategies they've come up with to help close that gap. Joining us is Barbara Neese-May. Barbara's the executive director of the Safe House Center in Ann Arbor. It's the only place in Washtenaw County that focuses on helping survivors of domestic and sexual violence. Barbara Neese-May joins us now in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
What are the reasons behind the budget shrinking?
There are several reasons. To begin with, it's a lower priority in the federal government spending priorities, which is really unfortunate. I mean, in the end, we're saving lives and building community, which is, in the end, what a lot of communities want to do so that they can say this is a wonderful place to live.
So you've lost money from the federal government, from the Department of Housing and Urban Development that you once counted on.
Yes, yes. And also sequestration has taken a major impact, plus the cost of doing business, which while we're not for profit, we're still a business. Mm-hmm. The cost of doing business has increased. So this has kind of turned into a perfect storm of loss of funding, flat funding in other areas, but then the cost of doing business has gone up. And it's an equation for disaster if we're not willing to, but we are willing to rise to the challenge and see what we can do to raise the much-needed funds in our communities.
I'm speaking with Barbara Neese-May, who's the executive director of the Safe House Center in Ann Arbor that focuses, in the only place in Washtenaw County, focusing on helping survivors of sexual and domestic violence. Are you finding, as you talk to your counterparts around Michigan, are other safety net organizations being hit with the same crunch?
Absolutely. I am part of a network of programs throughout the state, and we are all facing the same budget crunch. Mm-hmm. We're not any different than any other program in the state.
Tell us, how does Safe House Center work with domestic violence survivors to help them?
Well, at Safe House Center, we serve over 5,000 women, children, and some men who have experienced sexual assault or domestic violence in every year, and that's just for Washtenaw County. And the way we do that is through several of our programs. To begin, we have a 24/7 helpline that anybody can call any time of day to get information on how to better understand their situation or get out of the situation. Additionally, we have safe shelter, counseling programs, legal advocacy in the court systems, as well as support groups.
So it's a big array of services. With how much in terms of staff and volunteers?
Well, we have about 24 staff, but this is the astounding statistic that I think people are blown away by every time I tell them. We have more than 150 active volunteers at any given time participating in our direct services work, also doing some of the behind-the-scenes work. We are extraordinarily blessed at Safe House Center to have the volume of volunteers that we have. It far outpaces, I think, a lot of other programs.
So that, I'm sure, has been helpful as funding pressures have increased.
Absolutely. To bring in professionals from the community has had several impacts. To begin with, of course, our budget has been reducing over the last several years, and we've been able to maintain some of our critical services, all of our critical services, because of the efforts of volunteers. It also demonstrates the buy-in from the community, because there are people who are working side by side with us saying, hey, this is critical work, and we're saving lives, and we get to be a part of it.
So, strategies. What you say you've not had to cut back on services. You certainly credit your many faithful volunteers, but you've had to probably get very creative and finding strategies to get around this budget crunch.
That's true. And this coming fiscal year, which starts October 1, is going to be our toughest year ever. We have doubled our fundraising goal. It is far in excess of $500,000, which is a very bold and courageous and faithful step that we're taking as an organization in our community, that the community is going to choose to keep these services in the community. We do have some plans and strategies behind that and some amazing partnerships that has led us to believe that we can make a difference. For example, there is a local shop called Arbor Motion. Mm-hmm. What they do for us is that they have what's called the Change Your Oil, Change Your Life campaign. And for a $35 or more donation to Safe House Center, they do an oil change, winter inspection, and a car wash. The funds come straight to Safe House Center. We have the opportunity to steward those folks so that they can know that what we do and what they've contributed to. And Arbor Motion has an incredible following because they support Safe House Center in this extraordinary way. And it's raised well over $30,000 or $40,000 in its first few years. It's an amazing program.
So you're looking to these public-private partnerships as a way to help close the gap.
Absolutely.
What kinds of challenges do you foresee ahead for all safety net organizations in Michigan? If you're looking down the road over the next year or two, what do you think the big challenges will be?
Federal funding is going to disappear.
And how much federal funding was a part of your budget?
When I started at Safe House, gosh, it'll be 11 years ago, It was better than half of our budget. And it is going to dwindle to about a third of our budget.
You don't see that coming back.
I just don't see it returning. I think some folks think that the tide is going to come back. And while I am an optimist, I'm a realistic optimist, I believe that we have to make our own way back. I don't see how that in our current economic cycle, and this is almost going to be that economics lesson, you know, just because we've had a downturn doesn't mean that in 5 years people are going to be ready to spend again. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. I mean, those cycles can take 20 to 30 years to right themselves. And I really think that we're going to need to say we're going to need to do more with less, and we're also going to need to do more fundraising in our communities and pitched into our communities. This is a critical service. We are saving lives, and this is why you should be interested and involved. I don't think it's only for programs for survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence. I think it's all nonprofits. I can't imagine that any nonprofit really believes that federal funding is going to save them.
What drives you? What has impelled you to embrace the cause and the needs of the survivors of sexual and domestic violence?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. We all know someone who's experienced domestic violence or sexual assault. We've all had experiences. I am a survivor, and I really believe in what if you give survivors just the few tools to level the playing field, they can take off in their own lives and contribute. And I believe that about myself, and I believe that about every single survivor that comes in. And ever since I started this career almost 20 years ago, what has been the most humbling piece of it for me is that every single person that walks through our doors, they have hope. They have been through so much. They've been through the terror and the trauma and the abuse, and they really believe their lives can be better. And that to me is absolutely stunning, and it's a gift. And so if we can't say that we can be there for them, but we will be, and that's what I believe in.
And you've lived it in your life.
I've lived it in my life.
Barbara Niesme, the executive director of the Safe House Center in Ann Arbor, and she was kind enough to join us here in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.